This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is kind of different from the usual episode of the PowerCast, mostly because I'm getting up a lot earlier than I usually get up. As a matter of fact, normally I get up around the hour we're recording this, which is 6 o'clock Arizona time, or 6:30. And therefore, I had to spend the last hour and a half whipping myself into wake-up condition, exercising, getting ready, and all that. And, of course, our guest this week comes from almost literally the other side of the world, Ben Hurl, and he's in Australia. So we had to kind of compromise to accommodate each other's time zones. It's not like he can beam over. Or we can beam to Australia, which is something I would be happy to do if I had the opportunity.
Yes, it's a lovely place over here, Jane, that's for sure.
If there was a way, I would do it. But in as much as I just have to pretend, I'm here. But normally when we get a show started, Randall changes keyboards. So on his PC, he has one of these old-fashioned, very noisy keyboards. And I have what they call the Apple Magic Keyboard, which is magic because it doesn't make much noise. You hear that?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's all it does.
The sounds of silence.
Right. I think they're going to tell us that Paul Simon recreated the Magic Keyboard.
Actually, mine isn't all that old-fashioned. It's called an Eagle Tech. I got it on Amazon. And, yeah, it's a mechanical keyboard. It's got three different colors. It lights up. It can do a whole light show for me if I want it to. It's preferred by quite a few people because it does have that old-fashioned mechanical feel to it, and it's got the sound as well. And so some people really like that. And since I started using it, I think I've become hooked on it.
They wrote a song about that too, called "Hooked on a Feeling." But if you want to look at old-fashioned keyboards, from the Mac side of the fence, the original Apple Extended Keyboard 2 was considered one of the best out there. You can still buy them used for something like $40, $50 on eBay. But once you buy the keyboard, and I'm looking at one right now, it looks pretty clean. It's got what they call the ADB cable, Apple Desktop Bus, which means you have to have a USB adapter. It's $59. That's okay. The shipping price is $15. And I'm thinking here, I don't know what shipping costs are in Australia.
Horrendous.
But you can pack it in a box and send it by a technique which is called United States Post Office Priority Mail. And it should cost maybe $10 or so. Here's another one where they're going to ship it from Mexico for $22.50. Now, the key, of course, is that in order to use that keyboard on modern computers, you need what is called a USB adapter.
Yeah.
I don't know why we got into this. What kind of keyboard do you have on yours, Ben?
Oh, I've just got a MacBook Air, so that's pretty straightforward. The keys are fairly nice and quiet, and my MacBook's probably about 4 years old, and it's all I use.
Why we're talking about this, I have no idea. We are all stuck in our homes because of the coronavirus, because of the fact that E.T. may be out there. But E.T. doesn't really give anything. We don't want to use the words on commercial radio. They don't care about humans. They don't care about a disease that is infecting hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people around the world. We don't even know how many people have been infected because we can't test everybody. And for many people, the symptoms are just a cold, a flu,
yes,
a fever for a couple of days, and that's it. Nothing special. Normal thing. Yeah. But they could have had the virus unless we test, and we don't know. So yes, that's where we stand. Of course, there's a lot of politics in the U.S. that I shan't get into, because I think if I did, it would be far, far too frustrating. So let's not deal with unknowables. Let's talk about UFOs instead. Now,
yes,
some of our listeners will recognize Ben Hurl because he was featured on last weekend's edition of After the Paracast. As you know, After the Paracast is the premium podcast that's available to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. So if you do want to hear that first part, and this is not one of these things where it's a multi-chapter serialized novel or TV show, it's going to be another interview. But if you want to hear that one and you're not a member of the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus for special, special rates. We cut them back by over 40% to make it easier for you to subscribe. In the meantime, Ben has been following the UFO mystery for many, many years, and you've actually chased cases back to, what is it, the 18th century, it says here?
It's very hard to go back that far. What about the time machine? My DeLorean, yeah. I'll get that out and fire that up. Yeah, look, I have a deep love for cold cases. It's one of my great, great passions. I did touch on it last time we spoke. So we do have a deep interest in the old cases here. We can realistically probably go back to the 1950s and the 1960s as being, you know, cases that you can do something with to a certain extent, particularly if witnesses are still alive, and a lot of witnesses from the 50s and 60s are all falling off the perch. So therefore, it's quite important to get out there and do this sort of work. When you go back to, you know, beyond that period of time, you're really just dealing with what record has already been written to a certain extent, and you might be able to visit a location, but you're not going to be able to talk to anybody. So most of our work has been focused on cases from the mid-1960s right through until, you know, what we call today, I suppose. So there's a really rich history of UFO reports from my state here, in which we touched on that last week too, where that exactly was. And I've come up with I reckon 12 cases that I think are really good representation of the sorts of cases that have occurred here over the years. And some of them you will have heard of, and there's others here that you just won't have heard of. So, and a lot of variety in what's happened. That's what I love about investigating UFOs. It's, you never know what you're going to get.
Now, before we get into some of the really interesting cases, and we did cover Kelly Cahill on the After the Paracast segment, you run into cases like we've all done over the years that turn out not to be kosher. It's not mistaking a conventional object. It's somebody faking it, not really making it. That's another Paul Simon quote. All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. But seriously, you run across people who are just faking it?
Yeah, sometimes you do. You do get that. Most of it, perhaps intentional faking, you might get from trolls and people like that who would contact you, send in a bogus case, maybe engineer a bogus photo, give you uncontactable witnesses. We have had that happen to us a couple of times. And it doesn't take you that long to twig that that's actually the case, because anyone who's had a genuine UFO encounter, who makes the trouble of contacting you, is generally willing to talk to you about the case. And when you get these people who send you these, and often they're fairly good cases, and you go, wow, this is something great. I really want to talk to this person, you know, and you try to chase them down and you just find that they don't exist, or they give you a phone number and you ring that number and it's a local nursery. So, you know, we've had things like that happen a couple of times. And it's very frustrating and annoying when, you know, we all do this in our spare time and we don't have, you know, unlimited resources to throw at it. And when people do try and, you know, give you fake things and try to promote fake as new, as real, it really just wastes our time.
We're not going to waste your time, ladies and gentlemen. We have these announcements. More to come with Ben, Gene, Randall, you're in.
It's the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called Argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ben Hurrow visiting us from his palatial estate in... Is it a shack or a palatial estate, Ben?
I'd call it a townhouse.
Okay, I'll go with that. As with all people who get involved in UFO research, we get our share of fake news, and this is the real fake news, not what people claim to be fake news, which quite often is real news that they don't want to hear. And people come and they pretend, or they want some glory or something, and they pretend to have sightings. Now, I assume, of course, everybody in every country that investigates this runs into this problem. Are there any tales you can tell, something that really, really was wacky beyond the normal, just fake?
Oh, yeah. I remember we had this one case come in that was reported from just north of Melbourne, which there's a bit of a wine-growing area up there. This report came in, and it was of a person driving along in a car, and there was this sort of a boomerang-shaped object that was down low, and it was basically pacing the car. And as they're driving along, this object is pacing the car on the left-hand side, not far away from the car. Very sort of, you know, almost a, you know, dramatic sounding scenario, set in daytime at about 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, we thought, wow, that sounds really good. We really want to talk to this person. And, you know, as I said, we tried to ring them up on the number that they gave us. And, it was for a local, nursery, and, they'd never heard anything about it. So it's that type of thing where you go, that's crazy. I've been sent photos, you know, and it's reflections, and it's stuff like that, and you wonder whether, you know, some guy's just sitting down and he goes, oh, that looks like a UFO. I'll just take a photo of that, send it off to these guys, see if I can waste their time for a while. So, you know, we had numerous photographs come in that you just sort of look at it and you go, nah, it's just not right. The classic one is downlights. You know, that's the classic one. You know, downlights reflected in a window. And you get someone sends a photo from the city somewhere, and there's these little circular lights out there in the photo, and you go, downlight, 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 you know. So that's kind of, you know, 101 sort of wasting your time. But, you know, the more complex stuff is, you know, when they do sort of try to spin a backstory to it, you know, send you some sort of tantalizing, you know, piece of evidence in inverted commas. And, you know, and then they sit back and watch the fun from there, I suppose. But, you know, the more you investigate, the more time you spend doing it, you really do start to get a nose for those things that are really just going to waste your time.
What are these people looking for? Just some glory, or to play some kind of other game more elaborate? What?
Yeah, look, I think it's probably a bit of all of that, really. You know, we've had outright trolls, you know, trolls who just like to get on there and they do this stuff for sport, basically, you know. So that's one aspect of it. Then you get the other people who perhaps, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of delusion there as well. You know, maybe they're talking it up more, you know, like a bit of exaggeration, you know, trying to exaggerate what happened, that type of thing. You know, as far as motives go, you know, they definitely do vary a bit. I think, you know, for some of them, it's like, you know, wishing it to be true. And that's again, that wastes our time. So, you know, not too many people can really approach this from the point of view of fame, I don't think. I mean, you know, it's a very rocky road, UFO fame. And, you know, I mean, Randall sort of mentioned to me about the Mundrabilla case over in Western Australia, the Knowles family case, and that's a classic example of where, you know, fame can really, really, really go against you when it comes to UFO trying to become famous out of it.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, because it is one when I was looking up cases from Down Under that popped up first.
Well, it was in January 1988, and the Knowles family was a mother and three sons, and they were travelling from Perth to Melbourne, and they were travelling across the Nullarbor Plain. Now, the Nullarbor Plain, for those keen geography people out there, is a vast expanse of desert that crosses between Western Australia and South Australia, and it's a long, straight, very, very boring road, and so they were traveling across there at night, and allegedly this object started pacing their car as they were driving along. And they got really, really scared, and the son who was driving put the foot down, driving a Ford Telstar, which is really just a little, small little car. There's nothing fantastic about a little car like that, little sort of boxy car from the 80s. And he got it up to 200 kilometers an hour. And I think that was an achievement in itself. getting a little four-cylinder car, 1980s box car, up to 200 kilometers. That's almost unbelievable, really.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, this is what happened. And this object came down, and it attached itself to the car. And Mrs. Knowles reached out. She put her hand up, and she felt this spongy thing on top of the car, apparently. And the car, they described the car as being lifted off the ground by the object and taken along for a period of time, then dropped back down onto the road, and the object disappeared, and the family was very distraught, as you would be, having had that experience. But the fallout from the encounter was really bad for the family because, you know, the media sort of take a very, they don't treat UFOs seriously over here in the media, and it is a slow news day story. So they got these people, and the Knowles family were just working class people. They weren't, they weren't great scholars or anything like that at all. And they got them onto one of the local current affairs shows here in Australia, and they sort of pretty much made them look like idiots. I felt sorry for them. You can watch those clips on YouTube. They're still there to watch today. Those clips of the family being interviewed, and they don't represent themselves that well. You know, the credibility is kind of, questioned through that, I suppose. It was just a case of where people, who report something that happens, and if it happened as reported, that's a major event. And they just don't get supported at that time. You know, the media just put them out there for public ridicule, basically. And, then they move on to the next thing. So it was a very sad case in many ways, in my opinion, that they got treated like that. And as a result of that experience, they don't talk to anybody about it. Now the mother's since passed away. The boys are scattered around Western Australia. We tried to contact them and, and we didn't have any luck through trying to reach out to them. So overall, perhaps, something that there might have been something in it. But now looking back on it from 2020, we can't get them to talk about it.
Okay. That sounds like a very sensational case though. And UFOs chasing cars is not unheard of.
No.
Here's the deal. Well, someone's going to chase us if we don't break. Ben Gene Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says some states are going ahead with plans to at least partly reopen things during the coronavirus pandemic.
Montana will begin lifting restrictions on Friday. Ohio, North Dakota, and Idaho have advised non-essential businesses to prepare for a phased opening starting May 1st.
Health experts say moving too quickly could cost lives. they're asking for a lot more testing to be done around the country so they can get a better idea where the disease hotspots are or will be. Florida is among the states trying to get back to business. Governor Ron DeSantis is looking at the closed schools.
We spoke with a lot of folks throughout the state. There was some differing opinions. Some parents were not interested in their kids going back. Some others, it's been tough around the house. They would have liked to have seen them go back.
This is USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
You could almost feel Randall groaning on my last segue. Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Down in Australia, there is what other people around the world kind of refer to as kind of Australia's Area 51, and it's called Pine Gap. Yeah. And apparently, there's been some information come out of them about UFOs down there.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure exactly whether or not it came out of Pine Gap itself, but yeah. The UK Ministry of Defense, they released some 8,500 pages on it, and it includes some of the cases that come out of Pine Gap, and it's kind of a mysterious place. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, well, having been to America recently and been to the front gates of Area 51, I sort of,
You were at the front gates of Area 51, and yeah, did they come over to you and say, Ben, get out? Because they know who you are, because they know everything.
Yeah, no, they didn't do that. We got up to the front gate, and there's two entries. One where there's a guard box and the boom gates, and then there's another entry where there's really just a almost like a cattle grid, and you could just about drive up there. So we went there first, and the camo guy was up on the hill, sitting there in his Chevy truck. We got out of the car, Aussie tourists, and we stood down there right on the very edge of it, and we took our selfies. No one came down. They left us alone. That was a few weeks prior to the big storm Area 51 event. So that was my Area 51 experience.
Did you drop by the little diner there too, the little alley inn? And
yeah, we did. Yeah, we went to the little alley inn, put a $10 note on the ceiling there that says Victorian UFO action was here.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, so we did do all that, and that was really good. So Pine Gap is, it's out in the desert in the same way, as Area 51 is. It's in the center of Australia, basically. We're very close to Alice Springs, if anyone's heard of Alice Springs, but that's a town in central Northern Territory. And it's near the McDonald Ranges, which is a big sort of mountain range through there. It is fairly isolated. It's not a place, that, like Area 51, it's not a place that you can just go out there and sit out there, but just the environment alone will just about kill you. So, you know, it's a very inhospitable sort of an area. And beyond that, the stories that come out of there, you know, it's also very hard to substantiate. You know, stories of UFOs coming out of the ground out there and, you know, and people seeing things flying around, but it really is almost more kind of like an urban legend type of a thing with Pine Gap. Like, I've never met anyone who's been a direct witness of UFO events there. It's a long way from where I am too, I'll say that as well. So Australia is nearly as big as the United States geographically, and so it's like me being in Florida and Pine Gap being in Nebraska, you know, so I'm not close to that area, so I don't get a lot of opportunity to talk to people who've had any experiences up that part of the world. Yeah, look, there's stories of there being, you know, deep underground complexes there, the stories of submarine routes from the top of Australia all the way down to Pine Gap. What level of that is true? You know, it's something that you can really only sort of speculate on. And I don't think they're about to give me a tour anytime soon.
Yeah, I think they made a TV series down there, dramatized.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes.
Yeah, look, it's basically the listening post for the world, really. So, you know, it is a top secret. Well, not secret. Nothing's really secret, I suppose. But
yeah, it's just like Secret Area 51. Everybody knows it's there.
Yeah.
But nobody knows really much about it. It's not run by the Australians, or is it? Well, I guess it's sort of a joint United States-Australian
facility.
Yes. Yeah, it is my understanding. Yeah.
It is a joint facility there, you know, obviously by agreement between the United States and Australia. Obviously, I think there's a fairly heavy American presence there in terms of personnel. I think that there's quite a large amount of American personnel there. There's the Australian support crew as well who are there. Yeah, really. I mean, you know, what goes on behind those gates is anybody's guess.
Yeah, well, we do know that it's basically a satellite surveillance base.
Yes.
So it's down there because when they have satellites that aren't immediately accessible from the other parts of the globe, they can pick them up there. So there's all kinds of radomes and basically they spy on pretty much that part of the world from there, is my understanding. So
they do. They do.
So if, you know, if something's going on in the world down there, you know, who knows what those spy satellites are capable of now. And we've had people on the show who have worked for the Defense Department in the past who say they have seen pictures of UFOs from military satellites that they had to make, you know, airbrush out or make sure didn't get out kind of thing. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, speaking of speculating, if there are similar things going on down there.
Look, I think that would have to be, I would support that statement for sure. Yeah, I think it has to be. I mean, it's a very remote location, you know, very, very, very safe in where it actually is because, you know, it's just not a place that they want you going out to, you know, so. Whatever they do behind those gates and in those subterranean layers and levels down there, they've got free license to do it, really.
Right, yeah, and I mean, it's basically, it almost looks like a smack dab in the middle of the entire country there. So, I mean, if anyone tried to get to it, they'd have to fly over like a long distance to get there. I mean, it would be really hard for anybody to invade it. You know, you couldn't just say drive a boat up to the beach and get to it at all. Yeah, it's quite remote looking.
Very, very, very remote location. You're just not going to get out there without them knowing that you're coming. That's for sure. You know, like it's secure. You know, basically, it's an extremely secure facility. You've got no chance at all. Even if you went out there and sat out there with your camper and your tents and, you know, I mean, you know, it's just a hot, hot, hot desert out there.
And then you've got something that is sort of, I guess at one time, It was sort of like the little alien version of a place there called Wycliffe Well, where they tried to turn it into a UFO hotspot, or kind of like maybe like, you know, Canada's UFO landing pad, or tell us a bit about what happened there.
Yeah, look, Wycliffe Well is kind of like a little sort of place in the middle of nowhere, really, on between between Alice Springs and Darwin. I'm sure that they do have their UFO stories from that area. There'd be no doubt that they do. So, you know, you can go there and anywhere out in the Northern Territory, really, if you go out there and study the night sky, I reckon you're going to see some pretty strange stuff if you do it consistently enough. And Wycliffe Well has basically, you know, every little region has to have its little cause for fame to bring people into those areas. And I think they've made UFOs. That's the reason for going there. So I don't know anyone who's actually has a UFO story from Wycliffe Well. If you do happen to go up there and travel there and go stay at the caravan park where the guy's got all the little green effigies there of the little aliens and, you know, a few touristy style, you know, perhaps, like the little alien, style of setup there and you ask him some questions, I'm sure he's got some good local knowledge for you. Whether you can go there on any given day and see a UFO, well, that's another matter, I imagine, but, you know, it's a bit like the Min Min Lights. You know, the Min Min Lights is pretty much synonymous to southwestern Queensland, another phenomenon. And, you know, you've really just got to be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, and over time, obviously there's been a string of consistent, perhaps, you know, people, locals in that area have seen enough things. Words got out there. They said, okay, well, we can make something out of this. And good luck to them. Obviously, I support them. In that, let's get out there and see if we can, you know, turn something in for our little area here that, as tourists are going around with their caravans and RVs and things that, they're going to want to try and stop here and perhaps, see a UFO.
We're going to see this and come up with more with Gene Van Randel. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So this week is our second encounter. I don't know if it's a close encounter because he's on the other side of the world. But is it? Right. Maybe he's closer than we think, and he's just faking it. He's not over there. He's here somewhere talking to us from Area 51, Ben Hurl, and he's
That's
with
right.
the Victorian UFO Action.
Victorian UFO Action.
As I see this picture here where you have this look on your face, we come in peace. And when I see that, I say, really? If you come in peace, why do we have a coronavirus? Got to tell ET that. But you know what's interesting, just to point out something, how much misinformation we have around it. So it's called COVID-19, and they say, well, it's because it's the 19th one. No, it's because it was discovered in 2019. So, you know, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, I thought we're going to get a new and improved version of it too, aren't we, at some point?
Well, that's what they say. I mean, you guys, though, down there, I mean, being as close as you are to where it originated out of Wuhan would be, I imagine you would have been more concerned about it, but you seem to be doing relatively well compared to some other places in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Australia really did a good job in getting onto it. I think the Australian government has overall done a pretty good job, both federally and at state level. They really sort of got out there. They made the decisions. They clamped us down. They did it at the right time, and the restrictions are still on for another 4 weeks at least. And I think we really did get onto it. Like, we'd seen what had happened in Italy. We'd seen what had happened in Wuhan, or what China would let us see what happened in Wuhan, I suppose, to a certain extent. And we got onto the front foot with it.
Well, what's been going on down there with China? I mean, that must kind of worry you guys to some degree all by itself, because they've been expanding down along that chain of islands in South China Sea. Yeah. There, they've really grown their military, and yeah, like you say, they're not very transparent. They can't.
No.
It doesn't seem that they can be trusted. I was watching an Australian 60 Minutes documentary on the cover up there, and I mean, you guys have done a really good job down there of showing how that they really weren't forthcoming with what was going on, and this idea that it did come from a lab is not as far-fetched as people were saying it was at first.
Mm.
They were kind of poo-pooing the whole thing at first until some of this information started to come out. It's looking like, well, it probably was from a lab.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think so. Yeah, I think, I don't like to say it, but I think, you know, on some levels, you know, China has to pay, you know, for either the mismanagement of it, you know, from the very beginning, and the cover up for it. I mean, the world has to change, I think. You know, we can't allow things like this to happen. You know, I mean, if it was from a wet market in Wuhan and kicked off this whole pandemic around the world, shut the world down effectively. I mean, you know, none of us have experienced this in any of our lifetimes at all. So it really is uncharted waters.
Wait, it shouldn't be, though, because if people have been warning us that this was going to happen for decades, it was just a matter of time. And everybody seemed to have forgotten about the danger. We started focusing on global warming and the whole idea of fossil fuels and pollution. And this one, just all of, and or even nuclear war for that matter. And all of those things are real. But this one just all of a sudden came along and hit us right in the side of the head, like we weren't prepared for it, even though we should have known.
Absolutely. If you had said self-isolation to me in January of this year, I would have looked at you like, what? And now self-isolation is a term and that we're all, you know, deeply locked in.
One thing that we should do, just briefly, because you were on our After the Paracast, our special episode, where you did get to tell our listeners there a bit about UFO action there, Victorian UFO action. For our listeners who are listening on the air and are readily accessible show, tell us a bit about Victoria UFO action again and just how it got started and where your main focus is.
Yeah, sure thing. Not a problem at all. And then perhaps we should talk about some cases too, because
absolutely,
really good stuff for you. Yeah. Okay. So, since the 1950s through to about the mid 2000s, there was the Victorian UFO Research Society, and they had been around for many, many years. And it had been a very strong investigative UFO group. They had also done a lot of regular public meetings for people to come along to in the city in Melbourne. And they'd done a really good job of UFO research in those early years. But they made a bit of a mistake that they didn't have any succession planning. And by the time they got to the mid-2000s, a lot of the people in the group were really, really old. And there was no fresh young blood to take it over. So by about, 2003, 2004, the group just basically ran out of steam and there was no one left and the whole thing imploded. That left us in the situation of a few years where there was no real official UFO group, civilian UFO group in our state, and you couldn't report a UFO really in Victoria here. So my friend and colleague, Andrew Arnold, who lives down in Melbourne, he had seen the state of affairs and he wanted to get a group going, and he's just started off in his bedroom, just reporting UFOs locally on a little YouTube channel that he set up that nobody watched. So he started doing that. And I got involved because, as I said last week, I don't live in Melbourne. I live about 3 hours out of Melbourne in the country. And I decided I wanted to get involved. So I drove down to Melbourne to attend a meeting that was a UFO meeting there run by a gentleman called George Simpson. And his meetings were just a small gathering of old UFOs people who were coming along and just, staying in touch with UFOs. And I went to that meeting and I met Andrew there. And Andrew said to me, "Oh, wow, you're interested in UFOs?" I said, "Yep, sure am." He said, "Well, I'm trying to get a group going. Perhaps you might like to work together." And so we did. And we started off in about 2010. And we made a little website up. We started a little YouTube channel. We started doing some videos of going out and talking to witnesses, going to locations. For us, it was really important to get out there, boots on the ground and go to the places where UFOs had been seen and talk to the people. And that was really what we wanted to do. And him and I did that for all our early videos are on our channel there, UFOA TV. And we started doing that. And at the same time, we had a reporting aspect to our website where people could log in and put their reports in. And we just started getting trickling reports and we started doing investigations, 98% of them being lights in the sky, with which an investigator can do very little, really, but that's what we were getting. And more people came along. We had a couple of public meetings. As all groups do, it becomes a bit of a revolving door. People come in, they go through, they see that you're not quite what they want, and they move on, and that's okay. We had a bit of that. We started running a conference. We had a conference in 2015, and we had Chase Kolesky come out from the United States as our keynote speaker. And we had Bill Chalker and Cheryl Gottschall, Paul Dean from Australia. And we had that in the city in Melbourne. And we got about 120 people come along, which doesn't sound like a lot of people. compared to some of the events you have in America where you might get, you know, several hundred people or 500 people turn up, even more. So, but that was our start, and we were happy with that. We then did a few other events as well. We hosted a few people from America. We hosted James Fox. We hosted Richard Doland. We had a day for the Westall witnesses from 1966, which is a case I'll talk about a bit later. And the public could come along and hear from the Westall witnesses directly. All these were filmed. All these things are on our YouTube channel. So we really were about investigation and education. That's what we wanted to do. And support. We wanted to be able to say, look, if you've seen a UFO, that's fine. Talk to people who have an open mind. And if we can help you in some way, we will. We'll support you, and it will support you as we can with what we have. And that's how we got going and what we've been up to over the last, you know, the last 9 or 10 years or so.
That's really excellent. Just before we started the show today, actually, speaking of sightings, too, you said that you had some sort of a sighting or something to report just earlier in the week.
Yeah, this is amazing. This is incredible. Like on Wednesday night, which is the 15th here, I'm on my Viber talking to my girlfriend. My girlfriend lives in Melbourne, and I live in Bairnsdale. And my sister rings me, and my sister's popping up on my phone as an incoming phone call. And I'm saying to my girlfriend, "Say, oh, I'll ring her back later. Just let it go to message bank." And now, okay, so it goes to message bank. And then my sister rings me again. Okay, so it comes through again. It's, I'll ring her back later. Goes to message bank again. She rings me a third time. So I say to my girlfriend, "Look, I better ring her. You know, she's rung me three times. You know, maybe there's something wrong. I'll call you back in a tick." So I ring my sister, and she answers the phone, and she says, "Ben, oh my God, we've either got UFOs or ghosts above our house."
With Gene Randall, Ben, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.